You know, I think that's one of the things that I was really shocked at when I was talking to the folks up in Fairbanks is that the lack of athletic trainers. You see a few in Fairbanks. There's some in Anchorage. There's some in the larger areas there. But that is true. I think there's like the number of 16.
Wow.
Is the number that I was actually told. And that's pretty alarming.
Now, there's somebody somewhere who's going, oh, back in my day, we didn't have athletic trainers. What's all the fuss about? But injuries in debilitating injuries in high school and secondary schools, sports, are just becoming a more high-profile issue more and more, right, Don?
Well, I think that, and also it's the trainers are key for preventing injuries as well. And Alaska is one of only three states that does not require athletic trainers to be part of the high school sports program. But I think increasingly schools are realizing the value to have an athletic trainer on their staff. That's somebody that the kids can talk with, the kids get used to, familiar with, because the coaches aren't always the person who know about injuries and how to prevent injuries and how to treat injuries.
Rod, your program is aimed mainly at coaches who do not have the support of athletic trainers?
Correct. You know, one thing I try to do whenever I speak is that, you know, make it where coaches understand it. You appeal to the physicians, you appeal to the therapists in the group, whoever may be there. And I think that, as Don alluded, there's a dire need to carry, when someone's seen in his office, there's someone at the school that not only can get that person rehabilitated, but make a decision when they return to play. One of the biggest problems with injuries are re-injuries. And improper rehabilitation can, you know, you can have a very high incidence of re-injury. So That's very costly to insurance. It's costly to time loss. It's costly in pain and suffering to the patient. So we want to try to work with those people to help them with that. And, you know, again, just some basic programs that we can do. I'll cover rehabs that we do on collegiate athletes, but we'll apply that. Those same principles apply regardless of where you are.
Don, we've kind of developed, I think, informal partnerships between the schools and the medical community. I know that you, for years, you've been sort of the mat side doc at wrestling, and I see Elliot Brule at a lot of sporting events, football and basketball. Alexei Desitov from Search, the physical therapist, he's, I think, volunteering his time a lot at high school sports. Will this help a doctor?
Clearly, because they're seeing the patients, or the athletes, rather, on a daily basis and can be watching because, you know, I go to as many of the practices as I can for wrestling, but trainers are going to be showing up more and they're going to be available. If they're in the schools, then the athletes can go to them. And so they're kind of, I think, extend what physicians can do, and then also are real good about giving good assessments of, you know, what's going on with the athlete. Because, you know, the coach says, oh, he's got a bum knee or, you know, he's limping or something. But with the trainers, they can get adequate assessment. And then also start the patient on appropriate rehab. And they're wonderful at casting, at taping. And they're just a real useful, integral part of the team.
All right.
Rob, let me jump in on that, too. Because, you know, Don's a doctor that I would have loved to work with. I mean, he's the primary care physician that gets it. And to me, and I told him yesterday as we were spending some time with our family, our wives, when we were out on the water here just enjoying this beautiful scenery, there's such a relationship today. That primary care sports medicine physician market has just grown. In the 30 years that I've been in this business, it has just mushroomed, I mean, multiplicatively. And I think the relationship with those guys is unbelievable. I think that I always felt like my team physician was my best friend. He had to have my back. I had to have his back. It was a give and take. And he's exactly right. There's things that I would see when that injury happened that when we referred it to him, they knew exactly what was going on. So, I mean, to me, it's a win-win. So I really think that relationship there, there's such a high benefit to them.
Rod, maybe you could describe some of the changes you've seen over your career, the types of injuries that you've seen athletes experience and how they were treated, you know, then and now, because the discipline has evolved.
There's no doubt.
And sports have evolved.
No doubt. And I think technology has really driven a lot of it. You know, I used to say that the space program, when we were doing all the technological advances there, it carried over into medicine. It carried over, especially into sports medicine, bracing the products that they used. When you look at surgical technique, when I first came out of college, you know, if you had an anterior cruciate reconstruction, they would cut you from right below your knee to about mid-thigh because they were going to take out a big piece of tissue out of your IT band on the outside of your leg. They made a ligament out of it. We casted those things for 6 months, didn't let them move, and now you get surgery and you're moving the next day. So, I mean, it's, you know, we do things now arthroscopically. That's really evolved. Many of your procedures now are done that way. So surgical technique has certainly changed with the arthroscopic stuff, et cetera. Think concussion management. Between concussion management and cardiac screening of the athletes, I've got some notes that I'm going to share with the group from at Serums this weekend. We took a lot of the cardiac screening from some studies that were done on athletes and non-athletes in Italy, and we apply those to statistically, we apply that across norms. We know the risk of sudden death is there, and how we're going to screen those things, what we're going to do, is the value to screening better than the value to treatment? So all those things. Cardiac screenings change a lot. And again, the primary care sports medicine, these are the guys that have brought that to the forefront. They've done a great job with that.
And is this a concern, you know, off the football field, these cardiac and head injuries? Is it across the board? I mean, this is where you hear about it. This is what makes the news as a news guy.
There's no doubt. You know, I think a lot of the research is coming out of Afghanistan with the traumatic brain injury there. Don can probably address that much better than I can, but we're applying those same symptoms. You know, 90-some percent of brain injuries are not structural injuries. We do all these tests. We do CT scans. We do MRIs, and they're not really needed. We have to look at that patient, and I think that's, of course, what we're discussing now with these concussion seminars, et cetera, is treating the patients. And as you look at these findings here, exactly what's going on, return of play decisions. You know, when I came out of college 30 years ago, we graded concussions by how long you were knocked unconscious. Now it's how long you have symptomology. Mm-hmm. So the evolution has just drastically changed. Mm-hmm. The problem is, so many times, and I say this when I do a concussion workshop, you're not the people we need to be talking to. It's everybody that's not in this room. In other words, mm-hmm. the people that get it are there to learn more. It's the person that's not there many times that, and forgive me for going on, but I get on a soapbox sometimes, and it's just really, those are concerns you see.
I think the thinking has changed dramatically even in the last 10 years on concussions, whereas before, you know, oh, yeah, he got his bell rung, or yeah, it's fine, and okay, he gets up, and he seems to be okay, and allowed him to return to play. But now realizing that there can be significant symptoms that can be lasting for days and even weeks afterwards directly related to the concussion. And we're starting to get more evidence now on cumulative concussions, and some of it's very concerning. And so ASA, the Alaska School Athletics Association, Activities Association, was able to help get a law through now the Alaska legislature mandating that, you know, you need to take a closer look at concussions, and then they developed a policy about a very slow, cautious, and careful return to play.
Yeah, I attended one or two of those meetings when ASA met in mm-hmm. Sitka. It was interesting to watch them work through it. Don, we do tend to think of Alaska as kind of, you know, being remote, being small, being somehow insulated. We're up here, we're sort of doing our own thing. How concerned should we be about the absence or presence of athletic trainers, the absence or presence of the most modern understanding of therapies for concussion management? Is this a big worry for us here in Sitka?
Well, I think just because we're Alaska doesn't mean we deserve any or care that's any less than they get anywhere else. We still deserve the very best, and nowadays with the internet, I think everybody on television, radio, everybody's aware of, you know, what's happening elsewhere, and we deserve no less here. Clearly, there's difficulties in terms of applying some things in rural areas across the state, and you know, the bush communities are going to have a problem, and I think will not have access to any number of medical services or support services, including athletic trainers. But that doesn't mean that we should just say, oh, you know, we don't care how they do it outside. No, we should care how they do it outside. Alaskans deserve no less.